Listen.
Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Here we go, guys. This is the 2017 NFL Draft Specials. We'll be doing a series of podcasts over the next few weeks up until the, 27th to the 29th of April, when the draft takes place in Philadelphia this year, which is interesting. I quite liked the Chicago draft process last year. Who are we going to have tonight to join us on this show? Well, we're going to have two guys who know the draft inside out. In fact, I'm sure they're already taking my measurables as we speak. We've got our Saints superfan, Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Good, Neil. Now, quick question for you. Are you going to rerun your 40? Because I'm not liking the numbers you submitted last week.
I think so. Can I do over 30? I might get a much better time. Also joining us tonight is the Buffalo Bills super fan and an all-round Buffalo expert, Rob. Hey, Rob, how's your 40 time?
My 40 time is weak unless I'm running downhill heading towards a bar. But I will say I can legitimately jump as high as Leonard Fournette.
Yep, I think most of us probably can. There's a question for you guys right off the bat then, in terms of the 40-yard dash. Would you like to see the 40-yard dash taking place next year with guys going one-on-one against each other? Would that make them go faster, do you think?
I think it'd be funner for us. I don't know if it'll make them run faster, but I think it'd be funner for us.
It's already kind of pointless, so yeah. I mean, if we could add some intrigue to it, why not?
Yeah, be good to see. although I wouldn't like to be the one running against John Ross.
And only if there's odd pairings. I don't want wide receiver versus wide receiver. I want offensive lineman versus wide receiver.
Well, we'll send that in to NFL Network and see if they can sort that out for us. Right, we're going to start this particular first show of the draft season with a question which probably can't be answered for at least the next 15 to 20 years. So hang around, we'll still be here, guys. Give me one player from this draft, excluding Myles Garrett, who's probably the obvious answer here, who you think has the talent, has the ability to be in the Hall of Fame consideration come the end of his career and his eligibility period. Chris, let's start with you.
You know, I'm kind of torn, but I'd have to go with O.J. Howard. There's size, speed, build. He's dominant in both the run game and passing. There's just not a lot of weaknesses for this kid. Plus, everything I'm reading, he's a pretty high character guy as well. So he could have some longevity.
Okay, Rob?
All right, I had it down to two guys. One of them was O.J. Howard. The other guy who I think is be as close to a lock as possible without going miles, I think, is going to be Hooker, the safety from Ohio State. Now, I say that because just the style of play that he plays, you know, he's going to be that kind of center field, can cover a lot of space. That means he's going to, you know, chances are, as his career progresses, he's going to be a guy that's pretty likely to rack up interceptions. And if you get a lot of interceptions, you get Pro Bowl invites. And if you get a lot of Pro Bowl invites, you get to wear a nice yellow jacket at the end of your career.
I like your cynical approach, Rob. That is in line with most Hall of Fame considerations. I'm going to also go with a safety, and I'm going to go with Jamal Adams, who I understand that in the interviews with teams, he was absolutely nailing the interviews, great leadership skills, and he does look like an immense talent, but he's a strong safety. So is he going to get the interceptions to get those stats to match your theory there, Rob? I'm not so sure if he will do. But anyway, we're going to start this episode off by looking at the offensive players. We're going to look at the top five players that we have on our boards at the moment, and from this could end up in one long argument, I guess. But as you guys are both drinking, then I will be lucid and get the casting vote. We're going to look at the top five guys on our boards, and let's start straight away with the big names, the quarterbacks from the big position, perhaps not the big names this year. And I'm going to throw out two of my top five to you guys, and we'll start it from there. So I'm going to say my number one on my board is Deshaun Watson, the Clemson quarterback, and number two is I'm going to say Mitch Trubisky, North Carolina. Let's start from there, Chris.
I agree with both of them. I have Watson and Trubisky for one and two. I then went Patrick Mahomes three and Deshaun Kizer four. And if there was anybody that could take over Kizer, I'd gladly drop him to five. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of talent.
That's true, yeah. Rob?
My top four are the same, the exact same. I have Trubisky one. I have Watson number two. I love his intangibles, but I just I worry about a quarterback who, if he doesn't hit on it, if he doesn't work with his first or second read, the play's kind of washed. Kizer, I have as three over Mahomes. I think both are kind of in the same boat for different reasons. They're upside guys, but I don't think neither showed a ton. I could definitely see why someone would have Mahomes ahead of Kizer. There's some things about Kizer I like. The last guy I have is actually, and it's probably not on either of your boards, which is why I mention it, is Brad Kaya, the quarterback from Miami. And I think that's more so just because, as a Buffalo Bills fan, I know we're going to be instituting kind of a West Coast offense, and I feel the quarterbacks left, and I'm not really a fan of any of the quarterbacks this year. So I'm thankful that Tyrod Taylor got signed. I think Kaya kind of fits that, that quick passing West Coast offense the best.
Yep. Okay. I'm with you guys. The only name I have in my top five is at number four. I've got Nathan Peterman, who I like a lot. He's a senior. He's played, he's played two most recent seasons. He's played the full season. I quite like his poise. I like his footwork, and I liked his overall game film this year. But I'm like you guys. I think we're all agreed that there's nobody really great in this quarterback group. In terms of my top 50 players, I have Watson, who is my top quarterback. He's down at number 18. Trubisky at 19. So that you can see there's nobody there anywhere close to the top 10. How about we go Trubisky 1, Watson 2, Kizer 3, Mahomes 4, and we'll go what Brad Kaya and Nathan. Well, we'll do it in typical Mike Mayock style. We'll have six players in our top five and have Brad Kaya and Nathan Peterman tied five.
I tell you, tape that I just started recently watching, Jared Evans from Virginia Tech, there's a lot to like about him. And the more I watch him, the more I wonder why I hear about Davis Webb as much as I do. Give Evans a watch. He reminds me a lot of Dak Prescott.
Okay. Is he going to be a guy who goes, in the Prescott range in terms of sort of third, fourth round?
I think so, but I think I give him a better chance to being on a roster 2 to 3 years from now than half the guys on this list.
Yeah. And in terms of Davis Webb, that was a name that you mentioned there, Chris, but nobody else has really mentioned him tonight. When I watch him play, I don't like his action, and he looks a bit too static in the pocket, and I don't know, not much poise there in his throws. What do you guys make of Davis Webb? Because there was a lot of buzz going into the combine.
Well, I mean, I don't. For me, I just think the big thing with him is people fall in love with it. He's got a strong arm, yeah. So it's kind of one of those deals where people see that, and scouts will be like, "Oh, well, I could still work with him." I didn't love him, but I didn't love any quarterback really in this draft. So, it's you know, stands a figure that I don't really care for him either.
So in terms of the quarterbacks we have, the weaknesses we're looking at with them, Watson, we're looking at a player who just throws too many picks and loses control when his first read's not there. Trubisky, a guy who we say, well, 13 starts, is that enough? Mahomes, who maybe relies too much on his arm strength and doesn't use his feet well enough. Kaiser, is it just inconsistency with Kaiser?
I really didn't like the film on Kaiser. I understand the intrigue because of his size and his speed and his arm strength, but man, I had a really hard time. I think I've watched 4 or 5 games with him now, and I don't understand a second round pick, let alone a first.
So you guys, we've all got picks for our own teams, Washington, Buffalo, and the Saints. We've all got picks inside the top 20, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, which of these quarterbacks do you... would you consider any of these quarterbacks with your first pick?
The Saints pick at 11. And, well, 11 and 32. And now that they have that second first-round pick, I wouldn't hate the idea of Deshaun Watson at 11. The Saints have a lot of needs, and one of them is to find the replacement for Drew Brees. I just like Watson's makeup. I like his... He's got a short memory. He did throw a lot of interceptions. But he'd come right back out and sling it. And it's, you know, I'm biased. I watched both those championship games. That kid has heart. So I'd be okay. Not ecstatic, but okay with that as the 11th pick.
Rob?
I mean, for me, the only thing, like, if the Bills, if Trubisky were to somehow fall to 12 and the Bills took him, I'd feel a lot better about it now. Because I know he doesn't have to start year one. And, you know, they could kind of groom him into the position. And the way Tyrod's contract is now, they can get rid of him after 1 year. And it's not going to really hurt them terribly, you know, financially-wise. So I wouldn't be mad if it was him. I wouldn't love it, especially with how good the top 10 is this year. You know, I'd really like to get one of the, you know, a player that's not a quarterback this year. But if they do take one at... You know, a 10, I'd be fine with Trubisky. Any of the other ones, it would exacerbate my drinking problems.
And that's something that nobody wants. America's not ready for that, Rob.
No, especially my wife.
Okay, so let's say, right, we've done our quarterbacks. That's Trubisky, Watson, Kaiser, Mahomes, and the Kaya Peterman split there at 5 and 5.5. On to the running backs now, and from starting with a particularly weak class, we now come to a group of running backs who look really promising. Chris, why don't you start and give us your top 5 running backs, and we're going to have a disagreement here, I'm sure.
Well, my top 5 in order would be Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, Alvin Kamara, and then Joe Mixon.
Okay. Rob?
For me, mine's a little different. I got Fournette 1. I actually have Mixon 2. I have Cook 3, McCaffrey at 4, and I probably have Kamara at 5, I would say, yeah.
Okay, and I also have, Fournette 1, Cook 2, McCaffrey 3, Mixon 4, and Kamara 5. So we seem to have the same 5 guys. Okay, Chris, you're going to have to tell us why after the combine, we're still seeing Dalvin Cook ahead of both, well, McCaffrey and Fournette.
It wasn't a great combine. But when you watch the film, and I've gone back and I've watched film of 4 of the 5 guys. I still need to finish up my Kamara watch. But Cook just sticks out to me. He seems to be the most explosive and versatile running back out of the group. You know, Fournette is better in between the tackle runner. McCaffrey's a better receiver. Cook's just he's such a well-balanced running back that, I don't know. The combine's hard to look past, but I think maybe the hate's gone too far with him a little bit.
Do you see him as a more of a modern style NFL running back over Fournette? Would that give him the edge for you?
Oh, absolutely. Cook's a three down back.
See, I always have this thing in my mind. Do we want three down players if they're three good downs, or would you rather have a two down player whose two downs are exceptional?
Well, being a Saints fan, I had to watch both Jimmy Graham and Darren Sproles, which was great in the passing game. But if they were both on the field, you knew they weren't running. And that's become the issue with the Leonard Fournette of the world, is it shows your hand. He's a horrible pass blocker, and he's even worse at catching the ball. So if Fournette's in the game, stack the box and blitz. We started seeing the same issue with Adrian Peterson later on in his career. They knew they weren't passing the ball against them, so they would just stack the box.
Yeah, that's fair. In terms of... Guys, I want to throw a little additional question there for you. When you see different players at, you know, different positions across the field coming out into the draft, do you look for anything specific in positions? And I wanted to kind of throw that out to the audience as well, just to sort of say to them, this is what we look for. And just with the running backs, one of the things I look for with running backs coming out of college is I want them to have a 6 yard plus average over their college career. I just think that's something that's just an indicator for me that these guys are guys who can run the ball well and consistently over a period of time. Is there anything, for any other positions we come up with tonight, just throw that in there if there's anything you particularly look at. Rob, talk to me about Christian McCaffrey. Is he a running back, or is he a wide receiver who can line up as a running back?
He's a Swiss Army knife. He can do both. I think that if McCaffrey's going to be kind of a fun thing to watch, because if he ends up in the right offense, and someone who knows, you know, what to do with him. I mean, clearly he has the pedigree, you know, his father is a very successful NFL player. I think, you know, him in a, you know, a system, you know, could that, you know, kind of is willing to work with him. I don't think he can be, you know, a 20 carry back guy. I mean, obviously, what did he do? Nine pulls on the 225. You know, mm-hmm. He's not a strong guy, but I mean, he's someone who can catch. You could put him out with, you know, to do flares out on the outside. I think that he's kind of, you know, the almost, you know, one of those new age backs that, you know, can do a little bit of everything pretty well.
Give me a team who he would fit into in the NFL then, Rob. Would that be somebody like New England or Kansas City?
See, it's funny you mentioned both those teams, because I think New England is the one that everyone wants to go to with him as kind of the matchup. But I think that I think Kansas City would be a team that he would fit much better in, as far as, you know, what they do. The way they are creative with their playmakers, you know, as evidenced by what they did with Tyreek Hill last year. I think giving him, you know, a creative offensive coach like that would be right up, you know, would be the best way to kind of achieve this upside.
Chris? McCaffrey?
Well, I'm going to go home and go straight to New Orleans. I mean, we all saw what they could do with Reggie Bush, and they also, and, you know, and same with Darren Sproles. And I think he'll really reminds me of Reggie Bush, especially how he's able to line up in the slot. I mean, they'd kill it. He would absolutely kill it in New Orleans.
Okay, that's our running back. So I'm going to give you a five here, and you tell me if you can live with that or not. Because we did have two votes, I think, for Fournette at number one. So we'll have Fournette at one, Cook two, McCaffrey three, Mixon four, and Kamara five. Emily, want to make a case for changing that up?
No, I think it's all about what you need, and I think all the backs in this, like, this is just a, you know, a gifted year at the running back position. So, I mean, I personally don't have a problem with that. I like it.
Okay.
I have a question for the two of you. If Joe Mixon wasn't such a schmuck, would he be the first running back on your list?
He would be the second running back on my list behind Fournette, but not far. I mean, he looks like a bigger, stronger, better version of Cook.
I have him at number two. I took no, you know, off-field stuff into consideration when I made my list. I like him quite a bit. I think that he's going to have a successful career. I think he would, if it wasn't for all the, you know, the off-field incident, which we all obviously know about, it would. I think he'd be a first-round pick for sure. I think that being said, he's still going to somehow, some way, end up in the second round.
I agree, and I would have him on top of mine. I think he'd be the number. I think he's the number one running back in this class. He just makes very poor decisions.
Yeah, he made a heck of a poor decision a while ago, and it's going to cost him a lot of money.
What round do you think he's going to end up going?
I got a mid second.
Yeah, that's exactly where I have him. I have the weirdest feeling that Indianapolis, I think, takes him in the second round.
Okay. Yep.
Perfect situation for him.
Yep. He's another one who's, although what he did, of course, is never excusable, he's one of these guys who's suffered perhaps a little bit more because it was on video. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Could you imagine if what Tyreek Hill did was on video? We'd never know him.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, the kid was 18 when he did it, and although it's not excusable, surely he'll get that second chance, and that's then up to him, isn't it, to get that right. Right, let's move on to another group, which I think is what was already good and is maybe starting to look a little bit better in the last couple of weeks. That's the wide receiver position. Of course, we had the phenomenal John Ross 40-yard time before we had the typical John Ross injury to follow the run. My top five are, well, I've got John Ross number one, I've got Corey Davis number two, Mike Williams three, Zay Jones four, and sorry, you're not going to like this one, but KD Cannon I have in number five, just a personal favourite. And let me just say that Ross is number one, A, because he came and did something at the Combine after good production over there in his college career. I'm just losing him on my list, but I will find him shortly on my list. He, of course, was at Washington and had one solid production year of 81 catches for 1,100 yards. But he's also number one on my list because Davis is injured and we haven't seen him at the Combine. And Mike Williams, of course, I think we're all desperate for his 40-yard time, aren't we?
Yeah.
Rob?
Yeah, I've been kind of neck and neck with Mike Williams and Corey Davis as, you know, one or two, with Ross at three. But after the combine, I mean, Mike Williams is healthy right now, right? Like, there's no reason why he couldn't have ran a 40. And the big concern with him is, you know, separation, you know, with cornerbacks. Or, you know, you could win one-on-one battles or, you know, be better at them than most. But it's just a... It's scary. I just, you know, for some reason now, because he won't run his 40, I worry, you know, thoughts of Treadwell are popping in my head. Maybe they shouldn't, but they are. So I got Corey Davis one. I have Ross two. I have Mike Williams three. Number four, I don't know if he'll be on either of you guys' list. And I have Juju Smith-Schuster, who, you know, is a... You know, big bodied guy, kind of like Anquan Boldin. And then number five, I have Zay Jones.
Okay, Chris?
This is one that I'm willing to be wrong about, but my top wide receiver is Curtis Samuel.
Whoa! All right, off you go. You got to explain that one away.
It could be my love for the Michigan Wolverines and watching him destroy us. But, you know, the one thing that John Ross did with his 4.2 40 is make everybody forget that Curtis Samuel ran a 4.31. He is the best gadget player. And I put that against McCaffrey, who I'm a big McCaffrey fan. But Curtis Samuel can do a little bit of everything. He can high point the ball, though he's not Mike Williams at it. But he plays the ball well in the air. He can play both the outside and the slot and can give you really solid snaps at running back. I think he's a mismatch nightmare all over the field. From there, I go Corey Davis, Mike Williams. And I look, Mike Williams hasn't run because he's slow. It's at this point, it's obvious. We know it. I like how competitive he is with the ball in the air. And his frame, he boxes out well. And then Zay Jones. And Zay Jones might end up being the best out of all of the people that we've listed. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm willing to be wrong about Curtis Samuel. I'm a big fan of that kid.
That's fine. I mean, his time was overshadowed, of course, because it came up about an hour after Ross ran his, so it was easy to miss it, of course, which is unfortunate for the guy. Right, okay, how are we going to do this then? Are we going to say Corey Davis is probably number one?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. As far as a consensus among the three of us, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is of course means that we are correct nationally. And then who are we going to have number two? Then are we going to have Samuel, or Ross, or Schuster? Number two.
Oh, I got Schuster down to four. I'm the only one that mentioned him.
Okay. Right. Well, let's.
I think if we're going two. It would either between John Ross or Mike Williams.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go. Let's go. John Ross.
He was your number one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ross was my number one guy. Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Corey Davis one, Ross two, Mike Williams three, and we'll stick in Curtis Samuel at four, mm-hmm. and Juju, if nothing else, for the lovely name. Juju's sister at five.
I mean. We both did have Zay in our top five, so.
Yeah, that's also true. That's also true.
Yeah, I think we put Zay in it. Like, if okay.
Okay, Juju, your stupid name. You can go down to number six.
He's number six.
Yeah. We'll have Zay. It's a much better name, isn't it? Yeah. Here we go. What's that, Isaiah? Is he Isaiah then? It must be Isaiah, no? To be called Zay.
I think it's just Zay.
Oh, is it just Zay? Okay.
I think it's just Zay.
Zay Jones.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've just condemned Juju Smith-Schuster to a poor career, dropping him out of our top five. Sorry, man. And no love for KD Cannon, huh? Did you guys not watch the combine? He was phenomenal.
He was. It's that Baylor. It's Baylor receivers.
They got a stink to them right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Right. Okay. Let's moving swiftly on from that. Let's go to the tight end position. And I guess you guys will be delighted to have seen the tight end position, because it was what a great year if you need a tight end. And do Buffalo or the Saints need a tight end?
I don't think it matters. If you get a chance to take one, take them.
Yeah.
There have been already rumors coming out that GM for the Bills, Doug Whaley, who, if you're not familiar with his track record, tends to eye up a player and does whatever he can to take him, that OJ may be the apple to his eye this year. So the Bills are, according to Bleacher Report and Miller, they are enamored with him. So I mean, I actually wouldn't be shocked at all if the Bills took OJ Howard at 10. Not one bit.
Well, of course, we all know how good Doug Whaley is, and he's clearly a respected figure throughout the league. What about Chris? You want to give us your top five tight ends?
Sure. I have O.J. Howard as my top, which no surprise there. David, what's his name from Miami? I'm not going to butcher that one.
Njoku?
Njoku? Is that what it is? All right.
I don't know.
In the ballpark. We'll say it is. none of this matters. Evan Engram and then Bucky Hodges. For my fifth one, I went Jake Butt. I know he blew out his knee. He's going to be a great value for somebody because this class is so good. He might slip to the fifth and sixth round. You won't have him for this year, but the following seasons, you're going to have a very well-rounded, very good tight end. You got the sixth round. It's great value pick.
Okay. I, I wouldn't disagree with you much there, Rob.
I don't want to bore everyone, so the first four are all exactly the same.
I think that ship sailed, Rob.
All right, touche. but my first four, I mean, I got Howard, Njoku, Ingram, and Hodges as my top four. My fifth, I went Gerald Everett, the tight end from South Alabama. He's not anyone that you would call an insanely good blocker, but man, can he catch. So I imagine he's going to be a tight end, kind of in name only. And, you know, he'll be someone that just creates a lot of mismatches throughout his career.
Okay, I think the top three, we know the top three, don't we? They're Howard, Njoku, and Ingram. I just wonder, Njoku looks terrific. You know, he's athletic. But he, on the field, he does look like a player who's still learning the position. He is kind of looking like he's questioning himself a little bit on the field. It's hard to describe, but he doesn't look as fluid, if you like, as Evan Ingram does. And I also wonder, the guy's had 64 catches in 2 years, Njoku. He's not a guy who's been there in college and racked up the catches and the yards. Do you think we're falling in love with his athleticism a little bit too much over Ingram, who is your sort of Jordan Reed clone in terms of being just like a big wide receiver? But he's had 162 catches in his career, and as a tight end, his average is 14.3 yards a catch. And I wonder if Ingram might end up being the safer bet for today's NFL.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that too. And Njoku, the more I watch him, the more he reminds me of Clive Wolford, who was another athletic tight end from University of Miami. Ended up going to Oakland, and he's having an okay career. I wouldn't say he's lighting the world on fire or that he's a bust. Ingram's impressive. My only fear with Ingram is, is he going to be able to block? Are you going to run into that one-dimensional aspect that we ran into, you know, discussing Leonard Fournette? But besides that, I mean, that kid's a beast. And I think it was against Utah where he had about a 60-yard screen pass that he took to the house. Tight ends shouldn't be able to do that, and he outran that secondary. He didn't run him over. So I think, yeah, I if I were to redo this again, I think I'd have Ingram at two.
Okay, Rob, would you be happy to have Howard 1, Ingram 2, and Njoku 3?
I'm fine with it because I can kind of go either way. Njoku it is. It's, you know, someone who you are betting on a little bit more upside. And, you know, look at his combine stats, doing the three cone drill in under 7 seconds. He's got quick twitch ability. He's someone who you are kind of, you know, guessing on what he's going to become. I think it's fair to say that Ingram's a safer guy. So I have no problem, you know, as a team, if we're putting him at two, because I think we're splitting hairs here. Ingram is a good bat. You know, he's a good tight end.
Yep, okay. Let's go with those three then. So Howard 1, Ingram 2, and Njoku 3. And then we've got four guys for the last two spots. We've got Bucky Hodges, Jake Butt, Gerald Everett, and the fifth guy I had was really because it was to remind myself that there's quite a lot of buzz about this guy. It's Adam Shaheen, who may also, I mean, the guy's like a left tackle the size of him. I think he's up near 280 pounds. And you do wonder if he'll have the sort of the ability to separate and make catches, although I guess his catching radius is massive. And there we go, got catching radius in. That's a good start to this podcast. What do you think? Who are we going to stick in there? You guys up for... I mean, Bucky Hodges probably has to be in there, doesn't he?
I think so.
I think so.
Okay, so let's say between Everett, Shaheen, and Butt, who would give a vote there for one of those guys?
I like Shaheen. That kid, what was he, 6'7", 270, and he ran a 4.6?
Absolutely, yeah, incredible. Yeah, absolutely incredible. Athletic guy. Okay, let's stick Shaheen at number five. You okay with that, Rob?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, he's got these huge, long, 30, almost 34-inch arms, and he still did 24 reps at the combine. I mean, that's insane. And yeah, he's built like a monster. So, you know, and I mean, I probably haven't watched as much tape as, you know, the both of you have, but I mean, I have watched a little bit of him, just like the YouTube highlights and things like that. And he is, he's physically something. So I have no problem. There's so many good tight ends. Like, it's, you know, to me, you know, our list is 5, but you can go 10, 12, you know, in tight end this year. Like, whatever. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like one of the best tight end classes for a long, long time. Right. We're not going to do fullback. I think Sam Rogers appears to be the lead fullback, and it's worth noting that he's considerably smaller than Leonard Fournette. But of course, maybe he doesn't carry the water weight. Anybody else at fullback, quickly, you want to just name? You were talking earlier, Rob, about two guys at fullback.
Freddie Stevenson is the only other guy you need to know. He's from Florida State. Yeah. He is he's a good kind of hybrid guy, but I mean, and those two will be pretty good at the position at the NFL level, I think. I think other than that, it is what it is. It's a fullback position. If you're not the Buffalo Bills, you don't need two. So you need one,
That was the reason I came to you, because you do have a penchant for collecting fullbacks, don't you?
Oh yeah, it's been a running joke on Twitter the past couple of days. the way the Bills have been adding fullbacks.
Well, maybe you're going to be breaking new ground with your triple fullback set come the new season. Chris, anybody you want to throw in at fullback?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. At Sam Rogers, I think, I mean, don't we all expect him just to end up going to Baltimore to show the 49ers why you don't spend $24 million on a fullback?
That contract.
Like, don't you kind of expect that just to happen?
Yep, absolutely. He's a good player, that boy. He's quite a flexible player, plays a lot of positions, and probably one of those great guys you want around the team just to fill in all over the place, special teams, the whole lot. Right, let's quickly move on to the offensive tackle group, and it's probably worth saying our last two groups are the offensive tackles and the rest of the offensive lines, or the guards and centers. And I would have to say, when I've been doing this, guys, if we're supposed to have 5 offensive tackles and 5 other offensive linemen, I was struggling to get 5 of them combined who I thought would be players that would make a difference in the league. So let me give you my tackles.
5 only. That's it.
Yeah. So I'll give you my tackles, and I've got Garrett Bowles in there. I think he, for me, is the number one tackle. I've got Ryan Ramczyk. And then, of course, there's Cam Robinson, who I'm not sure if he's going to be a tackle. Well, he's going to be a right tackle, probably, or a guard. And then I've got Antonio Garcia, pretty much because I thought he looked quite good before his injury in the Senior Bowl. Otherwise, my offensive tackle board is as empty as my wallet is this weekend.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I have Bowles, Ramczyk, and Robinson as my top 3, and then a laundry list of players that I think should play guard first. Yeah. This is a bad class I need to tackle.
Yeah, my...
I suppose the question is, Chris, is it Bowles over Ramczyk or Ramczyk over Bowles?
Bowles over Ramczyk, easily.
Because he's footwork, or...?
He's the only one, I think, that naturally projects at a left tackle. I think Ramczyk can be a very good right tackle, but that's it.
Yeah, okay. And Rob?
I kind of feel the same way. I have the same top 3 as you. And, you know, Bowles is, you know, an athletic guy who I can see playing on the left side. Everyone else is, I mean, Ramczyk and, you know, the kid from Alabama, Robinson, they're right side guys. Robinson might not even play tackle in the NFL. I mean, this is just a bad year if you need an offensive tackle. It is what it is. I know you mentioned Antonio Garcia. I like Zach Banner from USC as a right tackle. Who, if you're not familiar with him, is like 6'8", and like 350 pounds. You know, but that's only because the class is so weak that someone like him jumps out. So, you know, I mean, the top 3 guys, I think that's really about it, a tackle. And that's really all we need to discuss.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's leave those. We'll just go with the top three there of Bowles, Ramchick, and Robinson. Yeah. I think there's a question for a podcast down the line, maybe. You guys will be aware that last year, what's the Raiders pass rusher, Khalil Mack?
I believe Khalil Mack, University of Buffalo.
There you go. Khalil Mack had most of his sacks last year playing on the left-hand side, so going up against the right tackle. And I wonder if this idea we always have had for certainly for the last 25 years in the league of having a sort of a dancing bear left tackle and a road grader at right tackle, if that's going to change, or maybe it is already changing, where you actually need more of the sort of dancing bear right tackle these days.
I think it's already changed. I know the Saints moved Cam Jordan over the right tackle because of that exact reason. Teams are starting to get to make changes for that, to adapt.
And in Buffalo, I guess you'll just send out one of your fullbacks to the right side to help out, will you?
Listen, there was a time when Mario Williams was a good defensive end and the Bills were comically overpaying him. But when we did it, he was playing on the right side and taking care of right tackles, you know, for that reason. I mean, they played him on that side over the right tackle, and, you know, for his, you know, I think he had two Pro Bowl years in Buffalo before he decided he didn't want to play for us anymore. so, I mean, it's happening more and more frequently. So I do think, you know, the change has already started for sure, where you have to put, you know, paying offensive linemen. It's always the right tackle who kind of has been down or it's like a fourth round guy. That's not necessarily the case anymore. So yeah. I don't think.
Okay, and then let's look over at the rest of the offensive line, so the really guards and the centers. I'm going to stick four names out for you. Guys, I've got Forrest Lamp, who I think is probably likely to be a guard. He certainly, when I watched him, I think he had a game against Alabama. I watched all these snaps in that game, and he was he had a terrific game playing left tackle, but he was so much on the edge to losing it at times, and I think he might have to move inside, although I do think he's probably the best of all the linemen for me. And then we've got Dan Feeney, and then we've got Pockich and Elfin, the centers, but really, I think I'm looking at Forrest Lamp as number one and everybody else in a little group. What about you, Chris?
I think if, you know, by ranking him, I'd put Feeney first and then Lamp. Feeney just has the makings of a stud right guard. But I mean, our list is pretty similar. You know, I have F-Line Toth and Postage as well. I am a fan of Deion Dawkins out of Temple. His size and athleticism intrigue me. I think he could be a good second or a third round pick. So somebody that I think kind of fits that Green Bay mold. He's a very athletic big man. The one thing I do want to ask with Ethan Posich, you know, he's a 6'6" center, and I don't know how much tape you've watched on him, but it seems like he's always backing up, like he's always beat off the snap. And then he recovers very well. I'm concerned he can recover against a Geno Atkins. Or if they add more athletics, those tackles, or defensive tackles, won't just eat his lunch all day. It'll be interesting to watch.
Haven't we had a very recent example of that in Cleveland drafted Cam Irving?
Yes.
And isn't he a big, big, tall, 6'6" center, and he just cannot get down? When you're playing these top guys in the NFL, I mean, these are the best of the best. And once they get under your pads, you're done.
I think the only one that comes to mind that's tall in the NFL is Max Unger. I think he's listed at 6'5", 6'6". And he's the only one that I can think of that's that tall that's done well at that position.
Do you think he can move to guard?
I think he's going to have to. But I think he's a talented kid, and I think he could be a left guard.
Rob?
I mean, anyone who's 6'6", I mean, you're just going to I mean, to me, unless you're a special player, you're going to lose leverage battles all day. You know, because, like you said, you're just not going to get low enough. So I think he's got to go to guard. Other than that, I mean, I have Lamp as my number one guard and probably my number one offensive lineman before the trade with that New England made with New Orleans. I really thought that that would be a perfect landing spot for him right at the tail end of the first round. Other than that, you know, I have Feeney at two from Indiana. You know, so it's a lot of the same names. I have number three for my non-tackles would be the kid from Ohio State, Elfine, or Elfin, or whatever you want to call him.
Okay. Well, I think we can... what should we go with there? We're going to certainly have, what, Lamp 1, Feeney 2, and then, what, then the two centers? Happy with that? I mean, I kind of feel like I'm looking at my top 50 players, and I can tell you that neither Pocket or Elfin are on the top 50. Feeney makes it, certainly. My concern with Feeney was he looked like one of these players who's got great upper body strength, but I didn't like he looked a bit weak in his sort of legs, but we'll see if that translates. Right, guys, we are we're drawing to a close here on this first draft podcast, but just to say there's probably one major piece of news that came in today, and that was at the University of Washington Pro Day, where Sidney Jones was carted off the field with a lower leg injury. I don't think the details are out yet, unless you guys know a bit more than I do. But that's a terrible blow for a guy who, I think when we talk about it next week, in terms of cornerbacks, he would be certainly in that top three cornerbacks.
He was my top one.
Well, yeah, I had him. It's awful.
It's a terrible blow for player. I mean, obviously we had Jake Butt in the season, the tight end, who was an ACL, wasn't it? And that's going to cost him it's going to cost him a lot of cash. And for Jones, leg injury for cornerback who relies on their speed, that's not great. So that's one bit of sad news. I hope the guy gets himself back on the field soon. Any other bits of pro day or draft or combine news that you want to share, guys?
Well, you know, I keep saying the kids need to start sitting out these pointless pro days. If you're going to sit out the bowl games, sit out the pro. I'm kidding. But no, it's absolutely devastating to see somebody so talented get hurt. Because he was very possibly a top 10 pick on a lot of boards. So, I think that's the main news. Rob has some news in Buffalo, doesn't he? Signed about 30 fullbacks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if we want to leave the draft, and maybe we have a couple of minutes each on the free agency for the Saints and the Bills. Hey, go on, Rob. Go.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine leaving the draft. The Bills were in on literally every fullback that was a free agent. Not only did they sign two, they were also in on Jurcik until he decided to take an insane contract from San Francisco, which obviously no one would blame him for. By the way, side note, he will be the 10th highest paid running back, I think I read. Just running back. Like, he's a top 10 paid running back. He's a fullback. I'm all for versatility, but that's insane to me. The Bills are redoing their secondary. They released Aaron Williams. Aaron Williams is a good defensive back who is making a lot of money, who you may remember as the guy who some thought might have been paralyzed in a New England game 2 years ago. And then last year, who was it? Jarvis Landry from Miami, the wide receiver, Landry. I think it's Jarvis Landry. Hit him. It was a helmet-to-helmet hit. And he hasn't played since. A lot of wonder if he was going to even come back. The Bills cut him. They also cut Corey Graham. And then they signed a couple guys. They signed Jordan Poyer, whose only claim to fame is that his girlfriend is a very attractive internet model who LeBron James tried to slip into her DMs. And they also signed Micah Hyde, who is that's the one I'm excited about, who's kind of a versatility guy in the back, can play the slot, can play safety. I could see him used quite a bit, you know, quite a bit on the field in his role. So I think that'll be kind of fun. Other than that, they just cut a bunch of guys trying to clean up the cap. The Bills signed a couple bad contracts over the past couple of years. Time to clean that up and move forward. We got Tyrod back. He did not get released. He was willing to restructure. I don't know why he did it. I think he would have got way more money on the open market, but whatever. Thank you, Tyrod. Other than that, just looking forward to the draft.
Okay, thanks, Rob. You lost Gilmore, didn't you, to New England?
Lost Gilmore, but, I mean, he's getting like 45 million guaranteed. What are we going to do? We're tight against the cap. Yeah. So it is what it is, and the Bills are going to be with the new – I mean, McDermott and Frazier, the defensive coordinator, they are, you know, zone guys. So man-to-man – you pay for man-to-man corners. You don't pay for zone corners. I mean, at least not a lot of money. I mean, it is what it is. I didn't forget about it, but it's been such a foregone conclusion, you know, the middle of the year, it was such a foregone conclusion that he was going to sign with someone else that didn't even really affect me that much.
So, yes or no question, is Gilmore worth that money?
No.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. Chris, come on, you guys have been trading for the last couple of days. What's going on in New Orleans?
The dumpster fire in the Big Easy. Let me grab another beer. look, I'm a huge Brandon Cooks fan, but he had to go. I was very surprised that when he came out after the Rams game and was as vocal as he was about not having to catch that game. You know, the team put up 510 yards, over 40 points scored against the Rams. And, you know, this was the big game against Greg Williams. Greg Williams came back to New Orleans after Bountygate. So it rubbed me the wrong way that he was upset about it as he was. But then he fired his agent once that came out, and I thought it was gone. It turns out he fired his agent because his agent didn't push hard enough for a trade to happen sooner. Once you've reached that point, there's no coming back. He has created issues, and I know a lot of players have come out and have been very vocal about backing him. But you could see the barbs at Michael Thomas and Ed Willie Steed and the three of them going back and forth, which is unfortunate. You know, I'm possibly a homer by saying this, but I do believe this is the best young receiving core in football. You know, you had 2,000-yard receivers between Thomas and Cooks last year, and I think Snead just missed 800. Not one of them are over the age of 26. As Cooks is 23. So, very disappointed, but unlike most Saints fans, I feel like they got good value. You know, they got a first-round pick. I've said all along I thought he was worth a second, and you know I would take it. So if we get a first, we get a first. But man, it is not as been as eventful as Washington, but it's been disappointing. I am happy with the signings. AJ Klein and Larry Warford were two of the guys that I had pegged going to New Orleans. Warford is a very talented guard at the age of 25, so hopefully we get him on the upswing. Klein has played very well as Kuechly's backup, and being Luke Kuechly's backup gives you a lot of starting opportunities, unfortunately. And then Ted Ginn Jr., that's a kick to the crotch, but I'll have to live with that one. But, I mean, yeah, that is life as a Saints fan right now.
I like the Warford signing. I think he's a good player, a really underrated player, so that'll be good. So in terms of Cooks, then, who at the moment replaces him on the field, or and will you be looking for somebody in the draft to replace him.
You know, Ted Ginn Jr. is going to do a lot of the clear out routes. And I mean, he could run the route if he catches the ball. That's to be, you know, remains seen. But it's hard to replace a guy like Cooks. Cooks is very talented. New Orleans has done this before. You know, New Orleans traded Jimmy Graham, got rid of Darren Sproles, got rid of Reggie Bush, and every year have come back, at worst, a top four offense. As long as Sean Payton and Drew Brees is there, they'll be okay. You know, as far as, you know, possible people in the draft, I think this really puts an importance on getting a satellite back. We've not had one since Darren Sproles. So it wouldn't surprise me if a Christian McCaffrey comes off the board early for New Orleans. I don't think he makes it to 32. As we've gone through the rankings, Curtis Samuel, I'd be ecstatic at Curtis Samuel. I think Samuel could do everything that they wanted Brandon Cooks to do. Brandon Cooks is a terrible gadget player. He has very, very poor open field awareness. If he catches the ball over the middle, 9 times out of 10, he just goes down. He's awful at screens. He's awful at reverses. So I could see somebody like Curtis Samuel fitting that role as well.
And what about doing what everybody wants? Everybody wants to have a butler, don't they? You might be getting one.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Everybody wants a butler in their lives, and New Orleans Saints may be getting one.
You know, we'll see what happens. You know, the Saints fans right now are light dumpsters on fire. They're so upset about this trade because Malcolm Butler was not included. He may or may not. I have a hard time believing that New England, one, will go into the draft with this few draft picks. Because if I remember correctly, they don't have one until round 4, and it's at the end of round 4. Now,
I think they still have a third-round pick.
That went to New Orleans.
No.
That was part of the Cooks trade.
Compensatory pick, really. Collins.
It's gonna be interesting. Now you got Jimmy Garoppolo who could go for, you know, a handful of picks. Mm-hmm. But and another thing, we just discussed Gilmore's contract. They're not gonna hand out a second one of those. Mm-hmm. So I could see that 32 pick, which I would be against, but I could see that 32 pick going back to New England, or a second round pick going to New England once he signs his restricted free agent tag.
Mm-hmm. And do you want Butler? I mean, is he a player you want in New Orleans?
For the right price. I was opposed to the idea as a straight-up swap between him and Cooks. I felt like Cooks has more value. I don't want to give up a first-round pick for him, not in a draft class that's this heavy in corners, and we'll discuss that next week. But I think the Saints can get a very quality corner in the second round even. But he's a hell of a corner. So if you can get him for a second-round pick, I can live with that.
And Rob, do you would you fancy playing a couple of games without having to face Malcolm Butler next season? Will you miss him if he goes?
No, I won't miss him if he goes. That would be perfectly fine with me. I'm actually at least a little bit looking forward to playing against Gilmore, because he, as a Saints fan, you would know, he's got a little bit of Brandon Browner in him. Where he likes to hold on long passes, and he likes to pick up that very untimely pass interference call. That's his, you know, he gets a couple a year. So I think I just saw a lot on Twitter with people kind of looking forward to Sammy Watkins, you know, going head to head with him and maybe drawing a couple calls and maybe scoring on him.
Hmm. Yeah. That would be something to look forward to next year. Okay, guys, thank you very much for your time tonight, and also your updates on New Orleans and Buffalo, and we can look forward to more interesting fullback signings going forward. Next week, we will be back to look at the defensive players and our top five. Listeners, if you want to ask any questions or give us any advice and tell us how terrible our top five players are in each of the positions on offense, please feel free to do so, and you can direct them to Rob. You're on Twitter.
I am. I'm at Buffalo_Sauced. S-A-U-C-E-D.
Okay, and Chris?
I am at that patron saint. And I want to add this really quick here, guys. Breaking news. It has been announced that Jones ruptured his Achilles tendon.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's so terrible.
That very well could be career-ending to that poor kid.
Wow. That's certainly at least what, a full 12-month recovery period, probably.
Yeah.
I was about to swear there. That's terrible news. Sometimes sports are cruel, huh?
Mm-hmm. I hope he got the same insurance on his draft pick that Jake Buck did. Sure. That stinks.
Yeah, that certainly does. Oh well, on that rather depressing note, we'll see you all next week, and thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Well, I think we learned today that this game is four quarters long.